Well, it is our September edition of PMC Live. I'm your host, Angela Denning. The first Thursday of every month, KFSK checks in with leadership at the Petersburg Medical Center to see what's happening there. Today, I'm joined in the studio by Julie Walker, PMC's Community Wellness and Emergency Preparedness Coordinator. Let me turn on your mic, Julie. How's it going?
Hi, Angela. Good. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. And it looks like Phil is going to walk in and join us. Phil Hofstetter is joining us. He is the CEO for the Petersburg Medical Center. But Julie, let's start with you. So you are with wellness, the wellness programs at PMC. How's that going right now?
Well, we've been busy over the past couple of months. We've done a lot in the last couple of months partnering with other agencies in the community. We wrapped up our community health assessment data collection this summer, and so that included a community survey as well as a series of community health interviews, and this will all help inform our strategic planning and our work in the community. So we're looking forward to compiling all those results, having them available to the public this fall. Then this summer was super fun. We had a really, really fun event with the Kinderskog program. They invited us to participate in a week-long summer camp as part of their Orca Camp series. So it was called Super Kids, and it was a superhero-themed camp for ages 5 to 12 where we focused on physical activity and nutrition. So it was so fun. We had PIA come out and do traditional foods with the kids. We had Jamie Cabral do traditional Native Youth Olympics. We had all sorts of nutrition activities and lots of fun.
Yeah, I think I saw some photos on Facebook about that. It looked fun. I think it was interesting because when I think of Kinderskog, I think of like really little kids, but this was through 12.
It was 5 to 12, which was a very big age range, but it was really fun to see the big kids with the little kids and learning, you know, shooting bows and arrows and all sorts of different things together. So it was really fun. Then last month we did a back-to-school health fair, which was also a lot of partnerships, a lot of people involved with that. Public health came out and did immunizations and COVID vaccines. Our PMC staff did hearing and vision, height and weight, and sports physicals for middle and high schoolers. We had tables from the volunteer fire department, WAVE, HIP, lots of different organizations. The local dentist came out and offered toothbrushes to all the kids. So it was really a great event, and it was our first time doing a back-to-school health fair up at the school. So I think we'll hopefully continue that on.
Yeah, my daughter, we missed that because she was out of town, but did folks take advantage of that? I was thinking it would be really convenient, especially for immunizations, you know, if they're due, you gotta get them.
Yeah, we had a handful of kindergartners come in and get their immunizations with Erin, the public health nurse, and we had about 20, 25 kids at each. We did an elementary school event, had about 20, 25 kids take advantage of the screenings, and then about the same amount take advantage of the sports physicals that we offered at the middle school and high school.
Yeah, and they were free, right?
They were all free.
Yeah, that's great.
It was kind of a one-stop shop for the high school and middle school. They were doing registration that night, so it was really nice for parents to come up and get it all done.
Yeah. Sounds busy, Julie.
It's been a busy couple months, but really fun stuff and lots of great partnerships with our community agencies. So that's what we like, and it's all about.
All right. And then anything coming up that you want to touch on?
Sure. Just briefly, I'll just mention Monday, we have on September 6th, we have the Rainforest Run coming up. So that will be a 10K and or a half marathon walk or run. That's out at Sandy Beach. We'll walk on the Frederick Point Road. The proceeds all go to the cross-country team. We are actually continuing on a long tradition of a local group of runners that started this run and helped out with it last year and are continuing helping out sponsoring the event. But we have some community volunteers that are runners in the community that like to do this event, put it on, and PMC is kind of their sponsor for the event. So we look forward to that. Runners start at 9, walkers start at 8. You can register online at the Petersburg Medical Center website, or you can come that morning and we'll get you registered.
Phil.
Yes.
Let's check your mic here. Okay. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
I was going to ask you, do all hospitals have wellness programs? Because this seems like it bridges the community to the hospital just for activities.
Not typically, no. You know, it's one of the things that we're really excited about. I mean, this is something, obviously, I have a real strong interest in. Health and wellness is something I've been interested in for many years. And coming here is just something I've always wanted to do. And having the ability to create the program is fantastic. And what Julie's done with it is just is really incredible. And the ability to grow the program and see that connection is just... you know, it's really sort of, it's just really exciting to see that just watching happen because that, you know, Julie's been doing a lot of it to the point where, you know, the Kindergog and, you know, like I heard about those things happening in the community and Julie didn't even have to report to me. She was so busy getting these things going. It was just so heartwarming for me to hear that. And, you know, and we're only going to grow that portion. We have a lot of, you know, within the past year and a half, it's been very challenging. So we know that delivering care outside the hospital is important, but, you know, promoting that and tying in wellness as part of that, that arm, so to speak, is really exciting.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I hadn't even come across a wellness program, I guess, before I moved here and then,
yeah.
You know, doing PMC Lab and that kind of thing is like, oh, okay. They're, you know. I hadn't known another hospital to have something like that where they're doing community outreach like that.
Yeah, you know, it's something I was very interested in doing when I was up in Nome, and I saw, you know, I had a very strong personal interest in health and wellness. It's something I feel very, you know, it helps my mental wellness, my health and wellness. When we looked at traditional subsistence activities of indigenous you know, population up in Nome, you know, the health and wellness is really tied to that. And that's the idea. I was like, hey, you know, what are we doing in healthcare these days? You know, when really the solution is looking back at traditional activities, and that's really about health and wellness. So having an arm and creating that within healthcare makes total sense to me. You know, I think, you know, it's sort of a progressive idea. That's great. But I feel like that there's a lot of solutions in prevention, and looking at, you know, some of our cultural backgrounds and ties and how to incorporate some of those traditions, somebody incorporate some of those healthy concepts to bring that that wellness to fruition is something we've I'm very excited about doing. And I'd love to see that grow in Petersburg.
That kind of leads into my next question, which is very general, just kind of an update on how it's going at PMC and you know, leading into kind of the future of healthcare here in Petersburg, because I think the last time, the last PMC show you mentioned, PMC was interested in getting community feedback about the future of healthcare here in Petersburg.
Yeah, so the community needs assessment that Julie was mentioning, and she actually helped run and develop was part of that, is part of that process. And that's something that as a nonprofit you're required to do, but it's also the timing and sort of the interest in a new facility, and a lot of these things came about. It was really the perfect timing to do that survey, and what we intend on doing is compiling that survey, put it together professionally, and presenting that out to the public. Embedded in that are going to be a lot of opportunities for, you know, adjusting our strategic plan for the future. Taking feedback from the community on things like a new facility, which are certainly hot button topics right now, and also looking at our COVID response and some of the healthcare needs that that we've experienced and what we desire to have in the community as we go forward. Things like birthing services that were lost, and you know that comes up a lot often in some of these community needs assessments, and then also you know things that we would like to see. You know, grow, or you know, certain areas that we maybe need to improve our education on that people may not understand correctly, or you know, there's some better ways that we can maybe promote some concepts and ideas. So there's a lot to share, I think, and there's a lot of opportunities to grow. And I'm certainly interested in developing and providing those conversations going forward.
Okay, so remind me again where we're at in that process.
Yep. So we finished up the community survey and the community interviews, and we now have a professional writer that is putting them together along with health statistics on Petersburg, compiling all those results to present professionally to the community. Okay. So that should be out later this fall.
Okay, later this fall.
Yeah, and so, you know, there was also a lot of desire for the community to have, you know, community dialogue, right? And, you know, there seems like there's an interest in that. We've had community cafes in the past. We held before COVID. We had town hall meetings also, you know, prior to COVID. And I'm actually, you know, I hear that in the community. I'm excited about it. I think the first thing we would want to do is provide information and present those results to the community and really build off of that conversation and the feedback from that dialogue.
Okay. So kind of go with the information that you've gathered with the survey, and then after that, possible town hall meetings or in person or over Zoom, whatever's necessary at that point, I guess.
COVID safety, yeah. Obviously is creeping back up. So we'll have to get creative on the way we want to do those results. I've been experimenting a little bit with video, and we actually have a little talent in house to create some video editing, and I'm looking at how that may feel and look to at least get some information out there and opportunities to get feedback. So we will definitely continue moving information forward. Whether that's ideally a town hall style meeting or whether that's a stakeholder style meeting where we're having smaller groups, like stakeholder groups, where we're presenting and having feedback, or whether that's Zoom online, you know, echo style like the state does for their informational or routine informational educational outlets. So those are all different ways that we can potentially provide information. And those topics are it's not just about community needs. It's to really build off of the community cafes that I've been doing in the past, and looking at starting that series again. And maybe, you know, I think, you know, the big town hall style meetings that in my experience, when we did the community cafes and the town hall meetings, the draw and the number of people wasn't, it didn't really capture the number of people we probably wanted. Obviously, we were hearing about from the community that we've never done these things, and that's just not totally accurate. So really getting the information out there and providing as many ways of communicating to the public as possible is really important, including KFSK.
Yeah, so the community cafes, I mean, it's a different name, but they basically were open public meetings to talk about medical stuff.
Right. The idea is when I, you know, there seemed like there was a gap in understanding health services in the community when I came on, and the idea was to start a series. And this was supported by the state. The state of Alaska helped come down and provide presentations on health services and things, the topics that we covered. And we focused in on specific topics like telehealth. We focused on aging in place, and we invited someone to come down and provide that information. And then we took that information and we acted on it. We actually took the information from those community cafes, and we incorporated that. And I'll give you a couple of examples. And the last one that we had in November of 2019 was aging in place. And there was a lot of conversation with the community members and providing more access to care in the home. And one of the two programs happened in the last year that that I talk about a lot. One is the home health program that just exploded in the past year, where it built out that department, adding a number of nurses and adding a social worker to the department. Those all came from that community cafe. Some of the responses from people wanted case management. We added a case manager this past year to the clinic. They wanted a social worker. We added a social worker to the home health program. Adding increased access to services. We increased the home health program because that was certainly the desire in the community. And we added the CAPABLE program, which Julie, interestingly, sitting right next to me, ran that program. She could speak to that a little bit. And that helps the aging in place process. The CAPABLE is a program developed out of Johns Hopkins, and we're the only site in Alaska that's doing it, and it's an innovation project. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure.
I don't mean to ask the question.
No, I've never heard of that before, so.
Sure. So CAPABLE is, as Phil mentioned, it's from Johns Hopkins University, and it is focused on keeping people 65 and older living safely and independently in their own homes. So it's really a prevention program. We're helping people stay safe and stay healthy. And it's really driven by the participant. So they get to decide what kinds of goals they want to work on to in their own home. So it could be anything from bathing, cooking, you know, getting around their home. Preventing falls is a really big one. Anyways, we got a grant from the state of Alaska to do this program, this pilot program, for free last year, and we got a renewal grant, so it is still a free program, and we piloted it with a handful of Petersburg residents, and it's open. We are looking for more people that are interested in getting these services. So the team that comes out to your home is an occupational therapist, a nurse, and then there's also a handy worker portion of the program where any identified assistive devices or minor home modifications, such as grab bars or, you know, raised toilet seats or things like that that may help the person, can be installed and paid for with this grant. So it's a really wonderful program. See, your eyes get big. It's a really cool program.
I can just think of I'm sure so many people out there could use a, you know, grab bar, just which would really change the game for them.
Exactly. Yeah, so it's a really neat program, and you know, anybody can call the clinic. They can direct them to me if they're interested in that program. You do not have to have a referral from a doctor. It is, again, a preventive program, so anybody that thinks they might benefit or they think their parent might benefit can give me a call. We could talk a little bit more about whether it's a good fit for you.
So would the keyword be capable?
The keyword is capable.
Capable. That's
it's
the program.
It's actually an acronym, Community Aging in Place.
That's a long
something,
one.
Something, something, something. It's an Aging in Place program from Johns Hopkins University. So it's okay. A really neat program.
Okay, so call the clinic and ask for the capable program and or Julie.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, that's really interesting. And it sounds very proactive.
Yeah, and it's, you know, those came from those community cafes. The feedback and building out those programs came from the needs in the community to build them out. You know, and to speak a little bit about, you know, why don't hospitals have wellness programs? Well, the honest answer is they don't make a lot of money. They can't support themselves. So really, we do have some risk in going out there and developing these programs because financially, you know, insurance companies and, you know, payers don't necessarily pay for those kinds of things. So for me, grant supported services to help subsidize that and just providing it, knowing that's the right thing to do for the community, will in essence pay for itself in preventing ER visits and preventing people from getting sicker and building out some of these concepts and really get the connection into the community. And the other idea too, like the CAPLE program, is something I'd love to approach with the state because a lot of, you know, there's sort of a catch-all in the state where with long-term care, you know, there's not a lot of bridge services as far as, you know, we're fortunate we have assistive living in the community, which is fantastic. A lot of communities have a long-term care facility, and it's very expensive to run those. It's very expensive. And it's very difficult if people are, they're not on Medicaid and they have to get on Medicaid. And that process to get there is really a challenge. I mean, that's the sort of the focus of the social work is to help navigate through that, which we've been trying to do. But also it's what people want is that home care concept and building that out in a way that is sustainable and working with the state as an innovation project is very mutually beneficial, in my opinion, from a cost-saving standpoint, and also the right thing to do, and it's the appropriate kind of care that we need for the community.
I feel like there might be two ways of looking at it, like the reactive healthcare, which is putting out the fires of, well, there's sick people, and, you know, help the sick people, whereas you can look at it in the preventative law, but it's years, though, you know, preventing things from happening so that you don't have the sick people, then, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely that. And if you, you know, you can look at our current pandemic as a great example of that. I mean, a lot of the, you know, you can't, you know, really define how many things you prevented by doing all the mitigation. That's always the challenge, right? Like, masking is important. Well, I mean, unless you don't mask, you can't really measure anything on the prevention. So we know these things work. Vaccinations are, you know, obviously work. These are things that we want to put out there to prevent, you know, the community from having an outbreak and overwhelming the system. So that's something that's actually a very good example of how we want to incorporate other health illnesses, other diseases, out there and looking at it from a wellness standpoint, looking at it from a healthy standpoint, looking at making sure we have good medication, good prevention strategies, and also having the support built into it from a community standpoint.
Well, speaking of COVID, I wanted to ask you, we just had on the air today, you know, a news story about the state, the statewide situation.
Yeah.
This week, reports are out that there's some hospitals in the state, you know, the big ones in Anchorage,
yep.
Alaska Regional, and there's Providence, and then ANMC are at capacity, meaning they're not taking patients, and then some are near capacity. So, you know, my question, of course, for you is could that affect Petersburg?
Absolutely.
Like, is it affecting Petersburg now, or like how close are we?
It affects Petersburg, any kind of transport. So anytime that we have a medevac situation where or we have to send out a patient to a higher level of care, absolutely. If those ICU beds are full, then it affects the care, no question about it. We're doing, there's a lot of things that we're working on. We're testing, we're doing contact tracing. We work with public health currently on our cases. I can only encourage, highly encourage, if you're traveling in and around the state of Alaska, get tested on your return and get tested on day 7 and making sure that you are symptom-free. Get vaccinated. It's so important. We're seeing, this thing blow up around us. And right now we're very lucky, but that could change overnight. It really could.
Yeah, I think the story we just had airing, it was an epidemiologist, Luisa Castrodale, and she was saying, like, Delta's different. The vaccinations were like 16 times more likely to keep you out of the hospital. Now it's like 8, but she's like, it's still 8. It's still, way less likely that you would be hospitalized with the vaccination.
Yeah. I mean, and then there's the booster attached to that. Remember, this is really a novel situation. I mean, we are living in it in real time. So as we develop, our understanding of what's going on, is catching up to the original COVID virus, the variant. We're just catching up and getting that data and how it's going to play out and how the vaccines incorporate that. But absolutely, you're still seeing a tremendously high percentage, 80-90% of hospitalizations are unvaccinated. And those even go up higher into the 90s and 95% that are in ICU and on mortality as well. So absolutely, there's a lot of, I mean, to me, it's about hospitalizations and illness. I talk to my colleagues, I talk to physician friends that work in those areas. I even have a good friend of mine that works the ER in Belgium, and I talk to him as well and what he's seeing across the ocean, and it's very similar.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you both for joining us today. What should we finish off with? Anything that we missed that you want to add?
I want to plug prevention again.
Okay, go for it, Julie.
Flu shots coming up this fall. We don't know exactly when yet, but stay tuned for more information about how to get flu shots when those come. And also the booster shots. We'll have more information soon. It sounds like CDC will be releasing information about, the recommendations for that at the end of this month. So stay tuned. We've been getting lots of calls at the clinic about that. So stay tuned for more information. And then, prevention.
Yes, agree with Julie. Vaccine, please get your vaccine if you haven't done so.
Okay, yeah, and we've been reading announcements on the fact that they're free here in Petersburg, the vaccinations, and also free testing for COVID. Pretty much daily. If you're traveling Monday through Saturday from noon to 4, I believe, is free travel testing.
Yep, that's correct. Yeah. And okay. We're just doing those. We're just providing those as much as possible. So really want to in support and make sure that's available and that access is available to the community.
Okay. All right. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you again next month. This wraps up our monthly edition of PMC Live. Thanks to Phil and Julie for our show today. If you missed any of it, we will be posting the whole thing on our website, kfsk.org, later on. PMC Live airs the first Thursday of every month.